Everybody, this is Pastor Bunny. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to get into a real interesting, informative message tonight, beginning a new series on last days, falling away. Well, the word fall is something that we could examine in detail. We will in the next four series as we go through, but we're going to look for the silver lining behind the dark cloud. I'm going to tell you something that may shock you in the message, so you need to stay tuned and bear with me until we conclude the four-part series, and I believe that you'll see that the prophetic scriptures indicating the last days is the best sign that we as a people of our Creator. I'm talking about those that are His, and there's just a few. Strays away and narrows the gate, and a few there be that find it. We're talking about cream of the crop. You know, back in the old days of the farm where this old country boy was raised right here in the hills of East Tennessee, we had our cows to milk, and Mom would take the milk, and the cream would actually settle to the top when we set it in the spring house, and we would carry the milk, and then she would strain the cream, and we would churn the cream to make the butter. So without a churning in the world, you know, the Bible says waves of the sea roaring. Well, we just had about 250,000 people, probably at the end of the total count. It'll probably be somewhere around 250,000, if not more, of the destruction that the tsunami happened to bring, instant, almost instant destruction upon unsuspecting people. And many of these people were the very type of people that's going to bring about the end days. That was the people that were eating, drinking, and being merry. Most of the coastal areas on the Ring of Fire Rim where this tidal wave erupted out of the from the bottom of the sea and come roaring in 15 to 20 to 30 to 40 foot wall of water, the tidal wave, and it came crashing in on the just and the unjust, the unsuspecting. And that's what the Bible says, it'll come upon you in a day that you think not. And so then, most of these people that were there in the great luxury hotels, taking their ease, sitting on the beach, worshiping the sun, and enjoying their life, eating and drinking and being merry, instead of going to their caves. And, you know, when people get a chance, it's strange. When people get a vacation, they want to go where they can have luxury and sin, the pleasure of sin, for their vacations, and that's what they do. And that's why that the Bible says it'll come upon you. Make sure it don't come upon you, but he said it would come upon them unaware, because they're not watchers. You got to be a watcher. So we're trying to recruit tonight watchers that will sit with us on the wall of the spiritual foundation of the kingdom of Yahweh's covenant promises to his people. Now let me show you something. The fact that the word fall, if you remove the F in the English language, it includes all. All. Well, let me give you a scripture. That's not all bad. Because somebody's got to fall before they can get up. And the Bible says if the righteous falls seven times, and he'll go through a calamity, these catastrophic calamities that are on the land, but the righteous will go through them, and he will get up. Not so with the wicked. When he falls, he can never get up because he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude. He doesn't have the grit, the desire, or the determination to proceed to the end. Now, remember, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound strange to you, but hear me out on it. Fall is a good thing. To fall is a good thing. I'll give you an example. Those of you who are praying for the coming of the Messiah must pray first for those who are in control of this world to fall. Now, let me give you a scripture to explain what I'm saying. Except there come a falling away, the end will not come. So if you want the end to come, you must accept the inevitable, the falling of many. Now, what does the indicators of that predict? Well, earthquakes. We've had a 500 to 1,000%, if you take a certain year and go back 100 years, you've got a 1,000% increase in earthquakes. In the last 30 years, there's a 500% increase. Now, the waves of the sea rolling was an indication of what you saw just recently when upwards to 250,000 people perished instantly. And they came up on them unaware, like I said. But this is just a precursor to more perilous times. Wars. Well, we're in a war in Iraq. I prophesied in 90. You're on WLAC 1510 out of Nashville, Tennessee, that we would be stuck in Iraq for a long time. Did you know it's almost a foregone conclusion that we're going to be there for years to come? The government has already given this ideal into our minds to condition us to accept it's not going to be a short-term experience. Well, I predicted when they went in, and the prophecies have certainly come to pass, but it didn't take a prophet to know this, that there would be much blood in the sand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a precursor, if you will, to fallen times. So our message tonight is going to be entitled Fallen Times. I want you to stay tuned for the next 4 weeks on WWCR, the mighty voice that goes around the world in Christian radio, that you might be informed, a better person to know and understand what's going to befall you in the last days. Remember Hosea? We're going to study on the book of Hosea. I'm going to tell you that the silver lining behind all this darkness that is coming upon the earth to try them that dwell on the earth, there is a hope and a silver lining for those who are saying, even so come, Yahweh, come, come. I mean, if you pray like I do every day, you want to see the falling away. Because, like I said, the falling away will produce the beginning of the end. Now, remember, he said, when you see all these things come to pass, the end is not yet. Now, isn't that strange? When you see all these things that we could read you in Matthew 24, where we ended our series on the land of the eagle. And in that hope, America will be a nation restored from the whorish, evil, corrupt, defiled intentions of the way that we live, the way that we are governed, our lifestyles, our running to and fro, seeking rest and finding none, only wanting pleasure, never wanting to suffer, to reign with Him. Those who are in the trenches of spiritual warfare. Now, let me talk about that just for a moment before we get to Hosea and his whorish wife. Remember the conclusion of Hosea. He had his whorish wife restored unto him. America, listen to this prophecy now. America shall be restored to a kingdom principle nation, bringing forth fruits of servitude toward our commander-in-chief. And I'm sorry to say, and I think Mr. Bush would agree with me if he's listening in tonight, that he's not commander-in-chief. As Nebuchadnezzar, after he went and ate with the beast of the field for 7 years, and he ate grass like an ox, and he grew his fingernails out long, and he had a nature of a beast put in him. It changed him from a Babylonian mastermind. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was what we would consider a genius, a tactical politician, a man's man in politics. That was Nebuchadnezzar. But the kingdom grew so large and powerful that he became persuaded by those who surrounded him. You know, the first thing to do is to get a man to fall is to swell his head up that he becomes unbalanced. You know, that's one of the things that causes a sudden destruction is pride. The Bible said pride goes before a fall. This nation and its pride will be brought down along with other nations. This is not the only nation that will be brought down, or this nation in a natural sense will fall before she can be restored. It will be the gentle, merciful, graceful covenant hand of Almighty, eternal Yahweh that will lift the remainder of those that remain. You remember I said a righteous man, though he falls 7 times, he'll get up. So we're looking for a few good men, if you will, to stand in the last days to proclaim hope in the hour of darkness. Light manifesting in sons of light, who will be the beacons in a dark land. You see, the light shines the darkest in blackness of contrast. When this nation, as it is, in its lowest moral state, and that's what Hosea married, Israel had become a house of whoredoms, going after strange gods, worshiping strange flesh, if you will, adulterating their blood with other bloods of other nations that they weren't authorized to do so. The same thing is happening here, that our inheritance, it seems, is being squandered. But did you know that this is the divine plan? Did you know that when Hosea married the whore, he began prophesying at the end of a period of material prosperity. That's when he began to prophesy, according to 2 Kings 14:23-27. Unfortunately, however, during most of Hosea's lifetime, the people were spiritually bankrupt. Well, ladies and gentlemen, isn't that the same state of America and Great Britain, Manasseh, America being Ephraim, and England being Manasseh, the two brothers that must be restored to spiritual stability. In other words, a theocratical, not a democratical, government installed. A theocratical government meaning one Yah rules on the throne, not man. Now, who would you want to rule over you if you had choices, and we just got through with two choices, Bush and Curry, and the people, according to the pollsters and the ones that counted the votes, and there is even questions in that, that the politicians are so corrupted and so corrupt and so evil and so whorish as it was in Hosea's day, that now we cannot really tell when they're lying or when they're telling the truth, and our mind is been conditioned to think in such abstract forms of realities being changed, just like the heavens that has what we call an illusionary factor, because the day's coming when the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll, and then we'll see the reality of where our Father is positioned himself around us, and the Bible said he's not very far from us. Is he aware of these days? Where is the promise of his coming? Is he aware of the suffering of the few as he demonstrates his patience with the many, the cold, the whorish, those that are eating, drinking, and being merry, those who are ruling the planet Earth, and will continue to rule until. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I say rule until, I literally mean that Yahweh set up Nebuchadnezzar, and Yahweh took him down. Yahweh commanded Hosea to marry a whore, which actually mirror images the little microcosm nation of Israel there in the days of Hosea, as compared to the mirrored image of the reflection now in America, God's chosen land. The promise is still to come. The covenant restoration. You say, well, wasn't this nation established in God we trust? Ladies and gentlemen, this nation has never been established in righteousness. The very fact that George Washington, who was reputed to be a man of God, and those who were figureheads, as we're supposed to think, that they were men of God, the very government that was formed was from the crown, the queen. And it was an enslavement factor. And for 239 years, we have been made to think with a conditioned mind that we were free. And so enthusiastically, our fathers built this country out of the wilderness. But the closer we came to the last days, or the falling away, the more we realized that something was wrong or rotten from the very beginning. Now we're taking stock and we are rethinking. Our conditioned minds have been worn out and deceived so many times. We have been burnt with those that promised us liberty when they actually brought in captivity. And we've been enslaved as a frog being boiled in water to the point where it's almost too late to evacuate our position of thought to save ourselves. Well, that's the scene of the falling away. Now, we're going to discuss some of the aspects of Hosea. Remember, he says, I am going to cause them, that is Israel, to forget their heritage as being a part of my people. They will take on new names and customs, and their fathers will hedge up the way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths, Hosea 2 and 6. Now, what does that mean? A way hedged with thorns. Now, I gave you the purpose of the land of the eagle, that the eagle purposely, in the bottom of the nest, she starts laying the foundation of the nest is laid with thorns. Did you know that? That the eagle, which is used to me to describe the great bird, the majestic bird, the eagle, as America, that her nest, right in the bottom of her nest, has the thorns turned to pierce or to penetrate the feet of the little baby eaglets. Now, each day as the eaglets grow and as they practice their flopping in the nest, in other words, they're jumping up and down to exercise their wings to take their final flight. Now, this is the flight from the nest. In other words, America, designed as a country with a government, will be changed in a moment. Babylon, this system is part of Babylon, and all nations are part of Babylon, believe it or not. There is not a theocratical nation upon the earth right now that reverences Yahweh as king. There is not a prophet, as is Samuel, in the land today that would have the wisdom and discretion to politically motivate or to steer us through these darkened times. It is the House of Babylon. We could go into who built the House of Babylon, or who fostered it, and who supported it, or who is financing Babylon. There's a lot of speculation and conjecture on many parts of those that know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, this land is destined. Now remember what I'm saying here tonight for you. This land, America, is destined for greatness. This is the promised land. This is the land of only what we have been provoked to dream about. Now remember when Herbert Hoover ran for president back in the 30s, when the crash of 29 brought us into the breadlines begging for a government handout. We were taking soup out of the soup lines. My dad used to work for a dollar a day. Him and his four sons would walk 4 miles each way to earn $1. They worked 6 days a week for $6, walking 4 miles each way, and that was divided among five people plus the family that they were working to support and put food on their table. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Herbert Hoover promised a chicken in every pot. Well, that's, you see, the mind then conditioned that we're now better off than we were back in the 20s, which probably is true. Everybody's got a 3-car garage. Everybody's got a chariot that can run over the paved highways with your tax dollar at work. So Babylon is not all that bad. If you're willing to take the good things of Babylon with the bad. Now remember, there has to be a falling away before Babylon falls. Now the falling away is that in the last days, men and women and the love of men and women will wax cold. Perilous times shall come. All these are precursors to the actual falling away, and except there come a falling away, the end won't come. Well, if you want him to come and deliver you, or to deliver you out of Babylon, or if you want Babylon to fall, pray for the end to come. Not the end of the world, but the end of an age where he would come and make all things new or renew. You see, the earth was in the water in the days of Noah, although it perished, that world that was then perished. But the Bible said it was in the water and out of the water. In the water and out of the water. And if that's true, then the earth that perished didn't actually perish. It remained. So these are metaphors or idioms, if you will, the word that world perished, the system memory, the things were renewed. And in the end of the age, we're going to have a renewal with what I would describe as the kingdom of the eternal, sitting where Babylon used to sit. We're going to have those promises, because in him are yea, and Abraham sought that city that we are now almost at this point able to see coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride. And her children are making themselves, for those who are actually making themselves ready, fasting, praying, searching the scriptures daily. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if there's ever a prophetic book in your home, it's the Bible. More is being fulfilled every day. And, of course, the television commentators, they take away the Bible. Most people never read the Bible anymore. They take the weather forecasters and the weather prophets, and the prophets are now sitting in three-piece business suits before a camera, and their faces or images are scattered from the image of the beast has caused it to speak, and the people are worshiping the image or the beast. Get in their news and their prophecies, or their bad news in this case, because all news is, have you ever noticed how negative it is? There's nothing, they have no covenant promises, no renewal, no hope. And so our minds are conditioned to think in such negativity as it was in the days of Hosea when he took the whorish woman and brought forth children. That's America. That is a mirrored image of America. But America will recover. America has a destiny. America has a hope. America has a covenant, and it is impossible for he who gave the covenant to America to lie. America will survive. Now, for what purposes and for what intentions are the covenants written in the house of God? Remember I told you about the nest of the eagle? And it says, with them going to a new land, they would learn the ways of the wicked, Babylon, and her customs, and that her way would be hedged with thorns, and they would make a wall that she shall not find her path. That means that we were directed purposely by the Father. It was his intentions all along for the hedged path. We had no choice, no options. We couldn't turn. We were hedged in, and we were herded, if you will, like cattle, across the Caucasus Mountains into the British Isles, and there we sought our freedom here in America, in the land of the eagle. The land that is native to the five timbers that is mentioned in the Bible, that is exclusively native to one country. That's America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some of the greatest promises of hope coming down the road, for the new kingdom cometh, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we don't have to worry about the blood in the crypts, or this gang doing this, or this agency going in and burning babies, or shooting a little baby out of the arms of its mother and get a hero's reward in return. And when abortion, the scream of millions of little babies where their life is taken from them, as they're waiting to come into this earth for the purpose of ladies and gentlemen, if the house is not built on the foundation, with the author and finisher being the chief cornerstone, that Daniel saw hewed out of the mountains without hands, that came down in the last days, it filled all of the earth. So you see, the prophecy is not doom and gloom by the doom and gloom prophets. The prophecy is for a brighter day. A new kingdom is coming. There's a new age dawning. And it'll only dawn through the falling away. Pray for the falling away. I said, except there come a falling away, the end won't come. If you want the end to come, and the Bible says, even so come, Lord Jesus, in the King James, even so come, Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, Eternal One, Yah, come. But the events foretelling before His coming is dark times, men's hearts are failing them, the number one killer is heart attacks, for fear of those things that are coming. We sit and listen. You see, if we would cut off the dumb tube, I call it, geared to a 12-year-old mind, and that's where they want to keep it. They don't want you to grow up as calves in the stall and see the whole total picture here. You see, if they can get you to believe in negativity, and they practice negativity long enough around you, that you will be overcome with negativity, and you will not live out half your days. And that's the whole intention of Babylon, as they herd you through the system like cattle. You see, their advantage is, if you die around 62 to 63 years of age, far before you get your Social Security, which is the pie in the sky, or your 401k, as a reward for your years of service to the establishment. That's Babylon. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says for you to not lay up your treasures with Babylon. Where should you have your treasures? Because where your treasure is where your heart's at. Most people are fearing that the banks are going to go under. They probably will. If you got your treasure in a bank, then no wonder you're having heart spasms. No wonder you're having ulcerated stomach by the secretion of too much acid by the nerves that is causing you to worry about your lump sum guaranteed retirement that you're promised that you're going to live happily ever after. Ladies and gentlemen, money, number one, doesn't bring happiness. You may think it does. It doesn't even bring you security. Did you know that a lot of fat cats, as I call them, using a proper now slang term, fat cats were laying on the beaches, like I said, in a foreign country, not even expecting nothing but good times. They had their bank accounts well settled. They could afford to be on these faraway vacations, cost thousands of dollars to do so. And did you know that almost 3,000 Americans are not even accounted for among all of the rich elite of Europe that were there vacationing? And you know that the Father has something like a fly trap to catch the wicked? That like the fool that said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger, and that night something happened that caused him to leave this planet? Did you know the Bible says, for you to be also ready, for you know not in what hour that the Son of Man comes. You see, the Son of Man is coming every day. Is coming as every day. His angels, his death angels, are coming every day for somebody that's not expecting them to come. And he said, make sure this day doesn't come upon you unaware. Now, if you have fallen away from the straight and narrow path, and gone over to Babylon to get your fortune, and yet you want your cake and eat it too. You want a guarantee by the ministerial association that you're going to heaven because you've been a good employee for GE or for whatever. And that you have a good standing in the community, and you have your watch of 40 years of time given to the company, and you have been to Sunday school on time for the last 40 years also, probably because your wife drugged you there by your ear. And it becomes such a traditional thing that we are caught up in tradition rather than righteous studying, searching, seeking, praying, asking, being found worthy to stand before Him in the day that it is most accountable for. Remember, I told you there'd be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Both of these just and unjust resurrections are for those who were accountable only to Yahweh. You see, the dead know nothing, and when they die, they raise no more. They're not accountable. But for those that are accountable, out of both houses, that's the house of Judah and the house of Israel, the covenant people, two for and about, the book was written for, to and about them. They are accountable, and they must give an account for even every idle word. And Hosea says, this is a land that I'm going to go to take a wife. And Yahweh says, it was a land of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, has America departed? Well, of course she has. Are we living in perilous times? Of course we are. Are we living in a day when they will cast the truth to the ground and despise and hate the prophets of truth? You see, if I was a prophet of smooth speech and enticing words, I wouldn't be preaching the messages that I preach. But I preach as Hosea went to take a wife. I'm here in America, in a land of whoredoms, and yet I have a positive outlook on the outcome because I see the total picture that the end of the age will be greater than the beginning, and the blessing at the end of the age, the pot of gold, will only be reckoned after a falling away. So I pray without ceasing, even so come, Yahweh, and redeem, because we are in the last days of the falling away. Ladies and gentlemen, redeem the time because it's valuable. You'll never call back tomorrow, but you will give an account for it if you are an accountable one to Yahweh. Now, if you're not, like I said, the dead know nothing. Once you're dead, you fall to the earth, and there's no renewal. You never get back. The wicked will never rise. Matter of fact, the righteous will tread on the ashes of the very hopes and aspiration and dreams of the foolish that were looking for the material and the carnal, and yet they wanted a God in the side pocket. Are you one of those that is wrestling with your own spiritual integrity? Is your thought a runaway train? Are you in conflict with your own thoughts? Are you of all men most miserable because you cannot seem to come online where you can please the Heavenly Father with the gifts and the callings which are without repentance? Are you one of those that have fell away by the wayside into the thorns of the life of riches? You've married a wife and she's very powerfully influenced you. You've got family now that demands certain traditional things that you don't go along with. And yet, for the sake of peace, and yet the Bible says, I did not come to bring peace. Are you at war with yourself? Ladies and gentlemen, if you are, you are in the very, very stage of the mind of Hosea. And yet, as he walked into a land of whoredoms, took a wife and married her and brought forth children, and thought he lost everything, in the end, he got exactly what Yahweh promised him. And did you know America is going to get her promises? Did you know it's impossible for God to lie? Did you know that everything in him is assured? And did you know that in the last days, the reward... You see, we're not looking back. Most people want to look back to the days, the former days, saying, oh, if we'd have been in them days, it would have been a picnic. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know it's far better to be in the inheritance at the end than the journey in the beginning? Did you know that the ninth-hour workers that will repent and come online with their whole heart, giving him allegiance and working for him in the kingdom, that the ninth-hour worker receives as much as though they begin this whole thing back on the Caucasus Mountain Trail where they were hedged in with thorns, where the Father directed their path right to this country where his covenant promise could be fulfilled and the reward given at the end of the journey. Yes, we're in dark days. Yes, this is Babylon, but there is a hope, a glimmer, a shimmering light, if you will, behind the clouds of darkness. There is a covenant promise that our Redeemer will not fail, that he promised us a land of milk and honey, and although the wicked have trodden it down and filled it with the whoredoms of Hosea, yet the land will be cleansed, and the reward and the covenant will be ratified with the righteous who have turned to Yahweh in the last days at the ninth hour to receive a reward. If you've got hope in America, like Pastor Buddy has, people have asked me to leave this country. Matter of fact, I've been provided, if you will, finances and transportation to leave and refuse to do so. Why would you flee a covenant land? Why would we give up at the ninth hour, at the darkest hour of America? Why should we give up and leave it when the rewards will be here in this covenant land? Other lands are not covenanted where the people wanted me to go to. I searched the Bible and couldn't find a covenant, but I found a covenant for America. Let us fear God and keep his commandments. Let us work. You know, I keep Sabbath. I keep the festivals. I do it right in Babylon. Babylon doesn't restrict me. I don't have any restrictions. No one has ever come and forced me with a gun not to do so. It is my own equals, those of the house of Israel, that I have the most sad dealings with. They argue, they fight, they curse each other, they down each other, they fight each other, they judge each other. When in all righteousness we should love one another, even more so as we see the day approaching. And yet the division in the house is greater now than it was when this nation was established. At least they had a purpose. Now that we have seen our purposes and materials fail because it didn't produce the utopia, the land of milk and honey didn't produce a kingdom that we dreamed about, that we would have and eat the good of the land. And you see, we left off the most important part. We forgot to bring our king and set him upon our hearts and let him rule and remove the locks and the material wantonness, the wickedness, the pleasures of sin for sin. You see, I have more fun serving Yahweh than I ever did serving the devil. Every weekend I went out to serve the devil, I woke up not knowing where I was at generally and having one of the biggest headaches and usually a heartache on top of that. But since I have turned my life, this is the 53rd year that I have lived a life of hope without giving up, without failing, and without fainting, and without becoming bitter and envious. Even in the dark, troubled times, my faith is growing in leaps and bounds. Why? Because I see the end appearing, and I see the falling away. For which I say, praise Yahweh, and get ready for kingdom principles applied. Our Heavenly Father will give us the true desire of our heart. If we faint not, we will reap the rewards of those who have sown many hardships, many heartaches in the beginning. You see, ladies and gentlemen, as we approach that day when the Bible talks about the times when the eagle will come to the tallest branch in the cedars of Lebanon. 15 years ago, I was fasting and praying, and the Father spoke to me and gave me a vision of a giant eagle, and it was in America. This giant eagle, for the first time, not that the eagle had sat in this branch. This eagle had never lit in this branch before. I knew it was the first time. But I saw this great eagle come and light in the branch of the cedars of Lebanon. And oh, what a glorious splendor. As she flapped her wings, I think about the song of the great speckled bird. And what a prophetic promise, America and her destiny. Oh, yes, we failed. Oh, yes, we've become a land of whoredoms. Yes, we're a land of Babylon. And yes, we can criticize her from morning to night. But I'll give you a sure word of prophecy this night, that not one word of the prophecy of our Creator will fail. America is destined for greatness. This is the land of the eagle. And in him is the promises of yea, not an A, and the negative. Oh, yes, there is unjust things. This nation has become proud, boisterous, bullying, all the negative things that we could talk about her, she has become guilty of, and the whoredoms of Hosea pale in comparison to what the whoredoms of America have become. And yet with the grace, when sin abounds, listen to me now, very careful, for the final prophecy tonight in part one of the Fallen Away, when sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Are you with me tonight, eagles of the righteous kind? Are you praying for that day to come? Are you hoping that this hour of darkness will come to the point where the fallen away will come? And then, and only then, will we have a glimmer of hope. The silver lining is about to shine through. The principles of covenant and oath that was sworn to our fathers, our Father will redeem his covenant promise with joy and with glee and with shouting and victory when we crown him our president, our king, our ruler. When he rules among the eagles, of the eagle kind, in the country of the eagle. What a promise. Now, if you'd like to have information and have my five-part series on the land of the eagle, if you'd like to have those five CDs, 5 hours on the promise of covenants of the land of the eagle, just write, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's New Tazewell, NEWTAZEWELL, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. I'll send you that 5-part series on the land of evil. And when this series is finished, you'll know why that Pastor Buddy has preached tonight that he's praying for the fallen away, and that it will be a happy time when those days are accomplished. And then the covenant promises and the total redemption of the fulfillment of the grace of the Mighty One as He comes to redeem those who have kept the faith and haven't denied His name. It's a wonderful promise, ladies and gentlemen. The land of the eagle and the fallen away. Write for that tonight. Just write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me and talk to me tonight about the great land of eagle and the promise and the covenants that are sure, ladies and gentlemen, I have more faith in our country tonight than in any time. I'm talking about the country as Babylon rules, but the country under the supreme rulership of the King of Kings. Oh, that day's coming. And it's nigh, even at the door. For I do feel like that the falling away is just beginning to take shape and form. And then, a little while on down the road, then the promised covenant of His coming will be assured to those who have a covenant with Him. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight, you can do so by emailing buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. You don't want to miss part two of The Falling Away, because it ties into the series of where we're going to go into the book of Hosea. I'm going to show you how that the eagle lines her nest with the thorns, and the actual path to come from the Caucasus Mountains to America was lined with thorns. Now, that's to provoke the little ones to keep moving. And as the little eaglets are in the nest, as they grow up, the mother will pull away the protective warm layer of the nest, and then they will begin to feel the effects of the thorns. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here He has captured the hearts of many people among the thorns. So you see, we need this persecution. We need this falling away. We need this end-time scenario to drive us, to actually provoke us, to come closer, even more so as the end comes, the falling away comes, even more so to pray without ceasing and to move up a little closer each day to seek the mercies and the grace of a covenanted Heavenly Father with a people and a land that will never be defeated. You may think that America is going down. That's not true. The people in America that are wicked will go down, never to return. The righteous will rise again, although they've been knocked down. You see, in my years of ministry, I've always been the one in the street, not fitting into the system of Babylon, the religious system or the political system or even the workforce system. I just can't agree with what they do. But still yet, I have managed to live among the thorns, ready to take my flight at the time appointed. Join us in the flight of the kingdom coming, not the defeat of going down, never to rise again. There is hope for those who have faith in the covenant principles and the mercy and the grace that the great speckled bird will spread its wings for a journey. It's going to be wonderful, joy unspeakable, and full of glory. Like I say, if you'd like to call me, that's area code 423-626-2172. And that's Pastor Buddy now. If you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, write me tonight. That's area code 423-626-2172, and my address is Post Office Box 2284, and that's New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to contact my sponsor tonight, that'd be Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. And tell him you heard Pastor Buddy talking about the land of evil and the hope and the promise of a covenant, that we're not dead, but we will rise again. Call Dr. Gary. That's a toll-free, 1-877-289-7439. And tell him Pastor Buddy sent you, and pledge a donation to our program. We would love to have you. Dr. Jack can receive your calls. That's 1-888-281-7320. That's our two sponsors tonight that I would love for you to call and tell me you heard Pastor Buddy on the radio and pledge a donational support. And we'd be glad you did. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old time on the clock has found us here on Sunday night on WWCR 5070 around the world. And by chance, if you're listening for the first time, you're listening to The Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. I'd be glad for you to call me or write me. Well, I was so thrilled last Sunday night, got a call from Northern Ireland. And the folks over there at 2 o'clock in the morning was up listening, having a Pastor Buddy party, they said, waiting on the truth of the gospel to come into Northern Ireland. We're delighted to have them aboard. And those in West Germany and all through Europe, we greet you along with the Eagle Land, the United States of America, and its people who love the King. We'll see you on down the road next Sunday night, live on WWCR. Yahweh bless you.